Jay DeForest, our producer, says stuff that Steve would talk about. We can talk about hockey or whatever, but the FIFA thing. I'm like, oh god,
it's great. It's the best story ever.
It is the most almost nothing story. Oh, so there's corruption. Can we also talk about doping in cycling?
It's better than that.
How is it? It's the same thing.
The story that had that rented out a $6,000 apartment at the Trump Tower for his cats. How could it be better than that? Well, who rode around this guy, the Chuck Blazer, who's one of the great villains, cartoon villains of all time. So this guy, you know, he's the guy that rolled over and blew the whistle because the FBI got him for avoiding taxes on tens of millions of dollars that he stole. Funny how people don't tend to pay taxes on money that they get from bribes and things.
Is that right?
Yeah, and it's funny. But this guy, he's a guy who started out coaching his kid's soccer team somewhere in upstate New York, I think, and winds up running American soccer and being like the kind of the kingpin. He looks like he looks a little like Victor Buono when he was doing King Tut on Batman, except he's fatter. And he ate so much and drank so much, you know, that he had to start riding around on a motorized scooter. And you know, and as it had an apartment in the Trump Tower plus an apartment for his cats next door, and the FBI busted him on his scooter. He came up and said, "We're going to put the cuffs on you, pal. If you don't roll over on anyone," he pleaded out anyway. But if you don't roll over on your buddies, and then they set up this sting operation where he has a keychain with a microphone in it, and goes to meetings with you know various other crooks, not to put too far, alleged crooks.
Yes.
At the beginning of these meetings, he'd take his keychain out and throw it on the table. They must have, you know, at some point they said, "Jesus, why is Chuck throwing his keys on the table?" No, it's kind of strange. But he's the rat. But he's the greatest rat ever because they say he's this guy who he's you know gorges himself like the Monty Python guy who explodes. It's the best thing. How can you not like that story?
Well, I mean, yeah, okay. The collateral damage stories, I guess, are clever and witty. But for me in Calgary and to get these fat cats. In Europe, who were stealing money, now they're in jail. Well, okay.
The one fat cat, the king fat cat, who is up for re-election in about an hour and a half and will win, I think, will be in our fair country next week. He's coming in for the Women's World Cup, so we are going to play host to him. So it's getting a little closer to home. He'll at least fly over Calgary. I think he's got to be in.
Well, there's a story.
Oh, there you go. So is that close enough?
But would he not be shaking in his loafers hearing that the Canadian Soccer Association has said they will not vote for him?
I love that, right? Because, you know, the last time this guy ran, so he's like 80 years old. The last time he ran, they were embroiled in another, shockingly, in another corruption scandal. And the Canadian Soccer Association has always been loath to disclose who they voted for until now. You know, because now they're standing up and saying, "Yeah, us too. We think he's a bad guy too." I think if you could find the Canadian Soccer Association's voting record in the past, my guess is that they supported our man a few times because, you know, that's how you get Women's World Cups, right? That's how you get tournaments. You have to deal with these guys, especially have to deal with the his right hand man was a guy named Jack Warner, who's also in jail right now from Trinidad, and I guarantee you the Canadian Soccer Association had lots of dealings with him because you had to. You know, he's like the consigliere, the guy that you go kiss his ring. If you wanted a tournament here, you wanted something, you had to go deal with that guy.
Well,
I'm guessing we've supported Sepp Blatter in the past here.
Yeah. Aside from say money, what would we do to entice Sepp Blatter and the people to give us a World Cup event? What Canadianity would we have to convince them?
Truckload of maple syrup, or
yeah, like some poutine, some bacon.
Yeah, that would probably work. Well, the guy in New York, he'd eat the bacon, right?
Gordon Lightfoot.
Yeah, a little Gordon Lightfoot and 100 pounds of bacon for Chuck Blazer. It worked.
Are you excited for CFL? Again, thank you for doing this. So now, if anybody's bitching that I'm not talking FIFA, I'm like, hey, where were you at 7:30?
We talked with, and that's the kind of FIFA talk I assume you can handle.
So, right? Well, yeah,
loading people in den cat apartments.
But even then, I've kind of hit my limit. CFL rule changes, rookie camp here in Calgary. The main camp starts on Sunday. I just wonder how it's going to change the evaluation, given how the return game, the defense, everything that's kind of changed with within the rule book. I wonder for guys like John Huffnagel and his staff, if guys that were not as coveted in the past become a little bit more so.
Yeah, I think the one I'm most interested in is the pass interference stuff. The the no contact part of the pass interference rule, because in theory that would place an enormous amount of value on a guy, on cornerbacks, for instance. You know, a cornerback who can cover a guy, a kind of a finesse cornerback in a lot of ways. Because you're not going to be able to bump within a certain area, you're not going to be able to have contact with a certain area, and the idea of it is to give receivers more room and open up the game. So it's sort of like the NFL rule, except that it's on a wide field and it's a lot more space. And I think potentially that could cause a whole lot of problems for defensive backs, which again would be great for offense. But it's going to be really a nightmare for guys trying to cover. So that's the one. I don't know. We'll see how the kicking game stuff works, and that extra point. I see the NFL is doing something similar now as well. Everybody's trying to make it a little more relevant. But in terms of actually watching football games and the entertainment value, I think that pass interference rule is the one. Now that said, it all comes down to how they actually call it too. And how closely they call it. But presumably, you would think that during the exhibition games, few that there are, that they will be trying to establish that so that everybody knows where the ground rules are. Everybody knows what it means, and the officials start to understand it as well. So that's for me, that's the one I'm going to be watching.
There's a young fella here in Calgary at rookie camp, and they're comparing him to Brandon Banks, and I kind of quickly remember, oh yeah, Brandon Banks, what was that?
Yeah,
what all right.
No, don't do that.
And then it reminded me that I was talking to you today,
thanks.
Of the Ticat fan club.
Yeah, do you know the Ticats have no rookie camp this year because they don't have any. They don't have enough rookies to fill out a rookie camp. That's how kind of set their roster is this year.
Now, is that very CFL-y or is it understandable?
I guess it's. I think they would have had one if they'd had a lot of guys coming in. But the roster, the kind of Kent Austin overhaul of this roster over the last few seasons, has been pretty darn complete, and they didn't lose a lot of guys. And they lost. Because with that discussion about defensive backs, they lost a guy named Delvin Bro, the cornerback, who was, to me, one of the best defensive backs I've ever seen in the CFL. He's off to the NFL. He's kind of a guy who had a funny got hurt in college, kind of fell through the cracks, came up here, and was immediately, I think, the best guy in the league, and has gone. So he's back in the NFL. He's in the NFL this year. But aside from him, they didn't lose a lot of significant players. They've got good Canadian depth. There's no, it's kind of the opposite of the old airlifts, where they would, have a million guys coming into camp, fighting for jobs. They just don't.
Well, I appreciate the effort today on the FIFA.
I did my best. You got to admit, I really.
No, you did. And I don't know why, but when I heard the guy had an apartment for his cats, Bob McCowan popped into my head. It just seemed like something that, when Bob goes off to Dunedin, it's like, oh, I got to have somebody to watch my cats.
Bob's got a house. There could be cats living in like some corner of his house because there's huge amounts of it he never visits.
How big?
That's true.
What kind of a house has he got?
Well, it's it depends. You could say it's palatial or grotesque. It depends on what side, how you're coming in. I think it's got 8 bathrooms.
Stop.
No, it's true. There's like 4 people in the house. And he's got 8 bathrooms. That's a conversation for another day. But it's the palatial Bobcat Estate is quite something.
And it strikes you as one of those places that no one gets invited to.
Well, I haven't seen all 8 bathrooms. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And you're his co-host.
Well, I'm sure in time.
Yeah. Hey, thanks, man. Have a great weekend.
All right. See you guys.